know. Sounds like probably got like one a minute.
Dickinson?
I'm in.
Maybe.
I gotta be honest, I'm in.
I'll try anything twice.
I mean, yeah, I'm kind of on that right now. Let's try anything.
Intro, go.
Anyway, on that note, welcome back to Still No Mox. We are, as always, your one-stop shop for all things that we feel talking about this week. In store for you today, we have Legacy League updates. As always, I am Sawyer.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Caitlin.
And I'm Sean.
We have two guests with us today. We have our dear friend Matt.
Hi.
And our other friend, John Stewart.
Hi, I'm John Stewart.
Who apparently is not a dear friend, just a friend.
Just a bee friend.
Well, we just befriended him.
Well, John Stewart is a beekeeper, which
my,
is...
My mind is abuzz with possibilities.
E-A-U-T-ful.
That's the bee's knees.
So
it's the buzz.
Yeah, we're here tonight with our guests to talk about some spicy decks and give you guys some updates on our Legacy League. Who would like to go first? Mike, how are you doing in the Legacy League? Yeah.
I will go first. This week, I won, didn't even have to play a single match. Or not a single game.
Please elaborate.
My opponent didn't show up in the... It showed up in the computer as a BYE.
Oh,
neat. Oh, so a BEE. Cool.
Yeah. So,
cool.
I got to play no magic. It sucked.
Congratulations on your flawless victory, nonetheless.
Yeah. They heard what I was playing and they decided to quit. Unfortunate street. Yeah.
That's moving right along. I haven't played my match yet this week, so I am still 0-2.
I also have not played my match this week.
Oh,
I wonder why.
I played. I'm still undefeated. Rug Delver's doing Delver things. Unfortunately, I've been pared down twice, and secretly, Caitlin, I've been blaming you for this. I feel like you might have been doing something wrong, but I know that you didn't. I'm just projecting.
Don't you project on me. I literally make matches and it makes matches.
I know. And I'm going to be pared down for the rest of the league. It's just kind of the way that these things go. And that's okay. Again, still undefeated. Still going to just continue to stifle and wasteland folks into oblivion.
So that's why I faced, Reanimator with this deck. It basically says, oh, you have a 7/7 with a lifelink? No, I'm just dead. You scoop, next game. Thanks. That's turn one.
That same thing pretty much happened to me last week. I played against Reanimator. I'm trying to, you know, do fun interactive things on turn, like, three on, and they're just like, turn one, here's a Grizzlebrand. Not many things that can beat that.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Including since I have to face Caitlin, but one of my matches was really easy. It's sneak attack going, cool, I'm not going to do anything till turn three, and I go, you're at two life now. Have fun.
You know what we're doing? Turn one Thought Not Seer.
Yeah, that's kind of gross. That's a big old bear.
Mike, I imagine it's also rather frustrating if you just, in the blind, not knowing what your opponent is doing, and you cast a Cabal Therapy. Naming like Force Will or whatever you're trying to avoid, and your opponent just drops a handful of like Grizzlebrands and reanimate spells. That's probably...
Yeah, that's not fun.
Just a shitty experience.
Yeah. That's why we have three Thought Seeds, so... I have a hope and a chance of getting something. Yeah.
A thought and a prayer.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those again in my matchup this week. I'm facing lands, which does everything I'm trying to do, but slower.
Which makes it better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Exploration. I'm playing Trent. He's playing lands.
That's right.
Like, the only thing I really don't have to worry about lands with is Tabernacle with Pendril Veil, because Paralage is indestructible.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's little things.
My only real hope is to, like, turn one Merit Lage and he doesn't have, like, a crop rotation or a Maze of Ith or something in hand.
Or just naturally draw Caracas or...
Yeah. Maze. Well, I don't think he mainboards Caracas. I think that's a sideboard card, but Living Wish is a thing.
Let you know, mainboards Caracas.
Oh, he mainboards Caracas? Great.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah, Lance typically plays one.
Okay. Mainboard. There's no reason they shouldn't if they're right. They've got all the...
Grizzle Brand.
Yeah.
It even hits me. I don't know. It's Galia at the end of the stance.
There's all sorts of things that you would like to bounce to your hand because they're legendary.
But I'm going to make him fight every fucking inch of it.
Yeah, you get to worry about playing your Dark Depths and him making a Merit Lage with his Thespian Stage.
Yeah.
Your stuff.
My goal, what I'm trying to do, is make a turn one Merit Lage three games in a row and him not have anything to do with it. That's my ideal game plan.
Yeah,
it's not likely, but hey, a man can dream.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. No. Matt, how are you doing in the Legacy League?
I am 2-0 currently, and I have yet to play my match until Wednesday.
Right on. Tell us a little bit about your list.
I'm playing Ho'gak, typical modern Ho'gak with a little bit better cantrips.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Get out.
Leave my house. You're no longer invited.
Hey, we're back. Yes. Sorry. We did. We have bad radio etiquette. We're working on that.
But the first thing I was concerned about was burn. And I played Chong, who has I think a full Legacy burn deck.
Yeah.
And I'm using shop lands because I'm a poor man's person and can't afford Bayous and Underground Seas currently.
Welcome to Still No Mox, a budget Magic podcast. it's almost like we designed this or something.
But I believe he won one out of the five games that we played, and it just didn't affect at all.
Yeah, you're fast enough. You can just make him go through his entire deck on turn two.
Yeah, what does burn really do against turn two Ho'gak?
Not very much, or turn two triple Vengevine.
Oh, God, you're a monster.
I love it.
It tries to go over the top in hopes that it has a chance to outrace, but even then, that's a stretch considering the speed at which Ho'gak does things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And throughout this tournament, I believe I've actually won more of just swinging creatures than I have actually altering combo. Primarily because I've messed up and did not put Carrion Feeder in my deck before I signed my list, which was actually a big oopsie, but for all intents and purposes, it's been fine for what it's been doing. Cool. Probably for the next league, I'll put three Carrion Feeders in like I should.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a Legacy League, so for now, our lists are still kind of in the works.
Yeah, I'm definitely putting some more discard in my main board.
Right.
I'm definitely putting four Surgicals and four Ley Lines of the Void in for people like you.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a thing that we can cover in a later episode when we get a little closer to the end of the league and the start of the new one.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be starting a new one almost immediately after this first one ends.
Yeah.
Correct, Caitlin?
Yes.
Yes. That's awesome, too, because just the speed at which we're playing the games, we got the first 2 weeks done in the first week.
Right,
which was awesome.
Is fantastic. There's a lot of excitement and interest to be playing Legacy again. I know that I'm not the only one who feels that.
Yep. There's been a couple times where we had 8 to 10 people available to play Legacy. I mean, people showed up for Modern, so we still had to play that.
Right.
But we had 8 to 10 people with Legacy decks
ready to go for a typical Wednesday night tournament, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, even then, if you're talking about budget too, you just use other modern decks because I find that my deck is basically modern.
Right, and that's another one of the things we're going to be talking about tonight is how two of the modern decks that have kind of been altered to fit the Legacy format are very interesting, and throwing four Lotus Petals into a modern deck is kind of viable.
It really helps out.
Especially if you're playing lots of little creatures.
And I think both of those decks have a better record than our Dark Depths player who day two'd an event.
Correct.
What's your record?
Oh, my record's 1-1 right now.
Yeah,
I got away from my next person.
You've already got me beat. I'm 0-2.
Oh, you won a round? Neat.
No, that's.
Oh well, the other.
I won three rounds. Thank you very much.
I mean, yeah, I faced the best part is
not,
I faced
sorry, not
sneak
rounds.
Attack, and he thought he would
matches.
Be the sneaky one.
You won three games.
Yeah, that's the one.
Not matches.
Let
not
me
rounds.
Have.
You
let me
won
have
three
this.
Three games,
let me,
my dude.
Let me lie to myself.
Well, he's doing better than you, but the other deck we're going to be talking about tonight is not
actually. Jack has won a match.
Has he?
Yes. He is not defeated.
Oh.
He has two losses and a singular win, from my understanding.
Which is the only reason why he faced...
He has a win because he got
Sawyer.
A bye.
He got the bye.
He got a bye, but
a
you
bye.
Know what?
You know what?
Win.
He's got a win.
Still
he's still got a better
win.
Record than me.
He's got 3 points.
He's still got a goddamn
You win. Also haven't played your third match, though.
Do you remember that part of the episode where I was talking about how absolute shit my match is? You remember that one?
Yeah.
I do,
yeah.
Too.
Currently, Jack has 3 points. Sean is about to have 0 points again. So
neat.
I still have 0 points even after this bye.
I'll be
I feel personally. So I might have a win on paper, but it's not an actual win.
So we give Jack a lot of shit for a lot of different things. And I personally... I like working at a card shop that he frequents to play Magic and whatnot. He asked for my assistance building his legacy list, which is just modern red light, colossal hammer, pure combo. Steel paladin combo stuff.
Kind of like a Cheerios thing?
Kind
of. Yeah, very similar. He draws a lot of cards off of pure steel paladin and SRAM, and then sticks a colossal hammer and kills you with it. But a lot of times, you know, people do things to prevent him from attacking or try and remove his creatures. So I got smacked in the fucking face with a pure steel paladin that had 22 power off of a fling. Yeah, so he's swinging in with this giant pure steel paladin, and I have two vapor snags in hand, and I feel really comfortable about it because I've got two vapor snags in hand, and it's Jack, and he's playing a modern deck that has lotus petals in it. And I go to vapor snag his pure steel paladin, and I just get flung.
the best part about his deck is, like, when it comes down to budget, he could, like, spend, like, $5 more to make it even better, because he doesn't even have, what,
he doesn't spirit have guides spirit in the guides. Deck. He forgot Spirit Guide was a thing. Simeon Spirit Guide was a thing.
Right, and
I'm actually curious why you're not running the green Spirit Guide in yours, but we'll get to that when it's your turn, when it's your part of the episode. You'll have your part.
So, John, tell us about your deck.
Oh, okay, sure.
Hi, my name is John Stewart. I'm here to talk about my legacy deck. Man, that's weird to say. Anyway, so
makes you feel important, doesn't it?
You're allowed to talk about yourself.
It's nice. Anyway, so I have Zoo. So all it's going to be consisting of is, like, throwing all my creatures down at once, emptying my hand, and swinging by turn one. So in Modern, normally it'd be like turn two where I use the Simon Spirit Guide. But because we have Lotus Field, it comes out more consistently.
Lotus Petal.
Oh, Lotus Petal, not Lotus Field. Yeah, that's a no-go for me.
Lotus Field makes you sack lands.
So the interesting thing is when you're swinging for 8 damage on turn 1, people just go like, oh, gross. That's all they can say because they have nothing in hand that can stop it. They're all creature spells. So even, Force of Negation doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Force Negation doesn't work, Negate doesn't
Pact,
work.
Pact Negation does work, but yeah.
But not a lot of people running around in Legacy right
now. And not many people are casting him on turn 0 or 1.
So
not if I can help it. Go ahead and run us through some numbers.
Right now, we have a interesting mix. There's been a few new cards added. Galia, the Endless Dance, is one of the new cards with Robber of the Rich. But we have 4 Burning Tree Emissaries, 4 of the Galas, 2 of the Robbers. We have the usual amount of, like, 4 Once Upon a Times.
Shut up, and Once Upon a Time.
we got 4 Wild Nacatles, 4 Lightning Bolts, 4 Simon Spirit Guides, 4 Reckless Bushwhackers, and 4 Goblin Bushwhackers, 4 Manamorphos, 4 Hidden Herbalists, 2 Tarkus Command, and then we have our land package, which is going to be the 4 Wood of Foothills, which I made a realization I should have not 4 of them. 4 Lotus Petals, 1 Sacred Foundry, a Forest and a Mountain, 2 Stomping Grounds, 2 Aired Mesas, and a Copper Line Gorge.
That's the deck.
Yeah,
and it looks really clunky from where I'm sitting currently. But I know from having played, like, traditional Bushwhacker Zoo in Modern a long time ago that, like, this deck is terrifying.
Yeah, it swings for 8 to 10 out of fucking nowhere.
Absolutely, and it, like, incredibly explosive plays, turn one plays with Simeon Spirit Guide. And then you add, you know, another chance to have extra mana through Lotus Petal on turn one. Mm-hmm. You can start crashing real quick.
It helps out the Hidden Herbalist, how it has a revolt trigger. That's the one thing I hate about her, how I need either my fetch land, but Lotus Petal helps out a lot to allow me to play her and Manamorphose fixing my mana or just using Burning Tree Emissary. The interesting thing with the deck that I've been running into is the fact that Robber of the Rich, if I can get him out turn one, I can start abusing my opponent's cards, whether it be Reanimator or even just, like, stealing their win con so they can't use it. So the reason why that's just been so helpful is because I've been able to drag out the game longer because they're just not drawing into what they need. So if I have, like, constant bears punching you in the face because you can't draw what you need, you just die.
It's true.
I'm also really afraid of a Zoo player who's going to cast my Brainstorm. You know what I mean? Like, turn one Robber of the Rich, get you, steal that Brainstorm.
Oof.
You better get rid of that Robert the Rich, or I'm going to be playing your deck, because I'm a patient person. I'll keep my cards in hand, just wait till I need to throw everything down.
Yeah, man, you got a couple of lands in hand, now I've got a bunch of creatures. Crack this fetch land, get ya. It seems really nice. It works. A lot of power.
Alright, so back to my question. Why no Elvish Spirit Guides?
So, the reason why there's Simmons Spirit Guides and no Elvish Spirit Guides is because Elvish Spirit Guides are hard to come upon. But actually, the real answer is there's too much red.
You need a lot of red, aren't you? You need more red than
the Elvish Spirit Guides actually get in the way, because the only green we have is Hidden Herbalist. Everything in here is just a mix of red, excluding Wild Nacabal. That's actually going to be replaced in the future by another creature, whether it be Fire Drinker Satyr, which is a crazy idea because I might get burned to death. Or
it's possible, but at the same time, there's not many ways in Legacy to deal with creatures.
Yeah, so because I'm going to be able to have two mana, since I'm going to be able to have two mana by turn one more consistently, I'm going to get rid of my one drops unless it's Bolt, and just replace it with more two drops, because...
See, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like you're missing out, and call me a traditionalist, but I love Curdape. Love Curdape. Like, stick Curdape.
2/3.
Yeah, it's 2/3, and a lot of times you can cast Curdape and Wild Nacatl in the same turn, and if that turn happens to be turn one, I'm scared as your opponent. Like, that's...
Coming in for 5 next turn, at least.
Absolutely.
The problem is...
And then you shove a Bushwhacker down your throat, and it's...
It's really bad when I'm only swinging for 5, unless that's turn one, because I have... Wait, hear me out.
No, I'm gonna agree with him. I'm used to swinging for 20.
So, if swinging for 5 on turn 1 kind of sucks, unless you have a Galia in hand for the next turn, so you could just wheel around. Oh, that's a fun concept. But the green mana actually gets in the way. So, honestly, Curdape would probably be better than Wild Nacatl, because I'm running into an issue of, you notice how I have one Sacred Foundry that is the only planes in my deck, and sometimes you just don't get it, because you get your one forest and... A goddamn
Curdape needs a forest to be a 2/3, right?
Correct.
In which case, I always have a forest.
Yeah.
I
like Curdape better than Wild Nacatl, just because it brings the consistency out. And, like, half the time I see your Nacatls anyway, they're 2/2s.
Yeah, so I have that issue right there. Back to Galia, though. I love her. So, she's really useful.
This is the new Satyr?
Yeah, the new Satyr. So, she got mounted in a forest, and she's a legendary creature Satyr with haste. Other Satyrs you control get +1/+1 and have haste. And whenever you attack with 3 or more creatures, you may discard a card at random. If you do, draw 2 cards. Now realize, it doesn't say when you attack with her, you do this ability. So if you really need her to stay on the battlefield, you could just attack with 3 other creatures. And you would still trigger her last ability to discard a card at random and draw a card. Most times, discarding a card at random sucks, but when it comes to a zoo deck, everything's a bear, so...
Yeah, if it's still in your hand...
Yeah, it shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it should be on the field.
Yeah, a lot of times it's just extra lands.
Yeah, it's either an extra Galia or just a land, and I go, like, I already have 2. And sometimes it's a lot of fun when you draw into a Simmons Spirit Guide and a Bolt, and you're like, you're dead. but mostly what it comes down to is me just swinging with a bunch of... bears, but like bears iron, like iron knuckles punching, and then they're back to regular bears. And you go, swing. You got nothing. You block one of them. Cool. I faced my first round when it comes to this Legacy tournament. I faced Sneak Attack, which is funny because I'm the one
you
sneaking
were attacking,
in.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing sneaky about what you're doing. You're just attacking people with creatures. It's pretty straightforward.
First game sucks for the opponent, because they go, oh, I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to play an island and stay safe so I can play my...
Ponder,
sure. Something.
I'm going to brainstorm at your end step.
Honestly, I don't know. Oh, actually, it was brainstorm. That's what he used. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to play a Wooded Foothill, Search into a Sacred Foundry, Lotus Petal... into a Wild Nacatl, Simmons Spirit Guide, Burning Tree Emissary, what's it called?
Bushwhacker.
Just wreck his
And he
gang.
Just looked at me and went like, how much is that? Like, oh, cool. People usually don't let me do this, so let me do the math real quick. It's like 4, 7, 9. Just take 9 on turn 1. That's nothing, right? He's like, we're just going to go to game 2. Okay.
So John Stewart's over here in our Legacy League with a modern deck, crawling into people's buttholes with both of his shoes on. Like he fucking owns the place.
Don't get me wrong, I died a reanimator. There's nothing fun about a 7/7 with lifelink on turn one.
There's nothing you can do about that.
That's like, hey, cool, that one creature blocks three of my Burning Tree Emissaries when they're buffed.
You just really hope that they go down to, like, three life or less and you have a bolt.
Because who expects a bolt?
I've done that before.
And they never will.
Done that once before.
Yeah. But they never will.
No. Sometimes you gotta roll the dice, and if you got a grizzle brain in play, you feel more inclined to roll the dice.
Maybe, but against someone who just shoved a...
Has red mana in play?
Yeah, just shoved a bunch of dudes in play, I feel like I would reanimate Grizzlebrand and pass.
Yeah.
And just sit, because I don't have to do anything ever again.
Yep. Block. Yeah.
So I faced the reanimator deck.
Creatures.
The one time I did face him, it was a fun match because he made a joke and play Iona and called green. I don't know why he called green.
He thought green was because the predominant color in your deck, but
yeah.
It's a lot of cards. Metamorphose, your Burning Tree, Burning Tree, Once Upon a Time, Wild in the Coddle, a Tarka's Command.
Shut up on Once Upon a Time.
So the problem is I couldn't do my build-ups, but the nice thing is I still have my Robbers of the Rich, the Reckless Bushwhackers, and my Bolts. And the reason why that's necessary is because I had less hands in him. I had to mulligan down to five, and I turned one Robber of the Rich. So I stole like a land right away and didn't really care.
Three hands?
Hmm?
Riker only has two hands as far as I know. I'm sorry.
You're good.
That was unnecessary.
Anyway, so I got a land from the top deck. Then turn two, he exiles one of my lands with Ashen Rider after the Iona.
Oof.
And so I'm like, oh, cool, I don't know what to do now. So I swing with Robber of the Ridge and got a, what's it called? A reanimate, which case his other Ashen Rider that he discarded just randomly, just in the grave. I'm like, oh shit.
And oh shit. Maybe,
yeah, I basically just destroyed his day because I got rid of his Ashen Rider and just dealt with Iona another way. I forgot how, but that was the only time I beat Reanimator because he went, I'm going to discard randomly for no reason, even though there's a goddamn Robber of the Rich that allows me to play his cards.
It's to be fair. It's a card that I was not... I know that it exists because I work at a card shop. I've never actually read the damn thing. Because I never really felt the need to. It's just a weird card from Thorn of Eldraine.
It's a Robin Hood point of view.
Yeah, it's cool. I get it. I know that it did a bunch of broken stuff.
And it has reach.
It's got haste and reach of all the weird things.
I don't understand the reach part.
I don't know.
It's because he's climbing around. He's the arrow, man. He's climbing around. He's breaking into the second story window of the princess of the town.
He's your hood. So,
yeah.
I never really understood what it did until I was sitting across the table from it, and he exiled a dumb thing that I needed. And it was frustrating because it was just gone forever. And I'm like, wow, this is a really powerful magic card that... It's gonna let him cast my goddamn brainstorm.
I actually faced sneak attack and I exiled Omniscience for the first time. Like, I kept hitting his lands whenever I did face him, and then finally, when I saw a card from him, it was Omniscience. I was thinking, what the fuck?
You'll never cast it, but you won't either, so that's fine. Okay, so you. And forgive me, what is your record again now?
I am 1-1.
1-1. Waiting for your third match.
2-0
waiting for your third match. What were your rounds like?
My rounds were fast. They were like consistently 20 minutes.
Yeah. So you said you mentioned playing Reanimator. Who was your other opponent?
It was Camden, and he was the sneak attack, and then it was the Reanimator being
Riker.
Right.
Okay.
Is it Camden or is it Cameron?
Cameron.
I was like, Camden's a
city in New Jersey.
And a street.
I know something about the last
It's
name.
A bunch
Camden.
Of things. But it's not one of our legacy opponents.
Right.
Not our dear friend.
I am not excited to face Caitlin at all because I don't want to deal with a turn one 4/4. Because I just...
A turn one thought not series.
Yeah. I mean, you're ripping a card out of my hand. Then second, it's a 4/4. I can barely deal with three toughness.
I mean, even if she just plays a Chalice, you're...
Chalice on two?
Chalice on one is... Kind of rough, but not terribly.
I'll live.
Chalice on two and you just lose, right?
No, that's, yeah, no, that's an instant loss. Like, cool, I can play Reckless Bushwhacker and bolt her. That's about it.
You can play Wild Nicconnell, too.
I mean,
have your stuff countered and, yeah, and then play your...
I could try to trick her and be like, you have Talisman too, I'm just gonna hold this and then be like, cool, you do your thing, I'm gonna play all my first Burning Tree Emissary. And she goes, yeah. I'm like, cool.
So now we get to... Caitlin, now you know that his entire game plan is to hope that you forget your chalice triggers.
Which, to be fair,
it's valid.
Happens.
Is a times. Thing that happens often.
Yeah.
I got a sideboard card against hers, Kalios. Kalathis? That new enchantment guy?
The Gruul God.
Yeah, so it's like the new, I call him the new green-black creature, the one that exiles shit from the grave. He's been...
Deathrite Shaman.
Deathrite. It's the new Deathrite Shaman.
Except it costs 3 mana and it doesn't...
Shut up.
It's not Planeswalker. It doesn't do any of the things that we need it to do.
It does for me because it's a creature when it comes out. Trust me, it's going to be a creature.
Right, so... One red and green, indestructible, as long as your devotion, blah, 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 less than 7, not a creature. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, exile target card from a graveyard. If it was a land card, add a red or a green. Otherwise, you gain 2 life, and Clothis deals 2 damage to each opponent. Each opponent, that's neat.
Doesn't target, you can't hexproof yourself from it.
Yeah, that's, I like that. And, one of, Commander games where you get to just... Ping everybody.
Yep.
It's sure as nice. Yeah. I like that. Matt, so we asked a little bit about how your deck worked and what you were doing. Tell us about your deck more in depth and then as well as how you're doing in the Legacy League.
So first off, 2-0. So the deck is pretty much no different than it was in Modern, but for those who didn't have the pleasure of experiencing Hogak in Modern, what you do is you loop Hogak with Altered Dementia and Bridge from Below to infinitely, or not infinitely, but mill your entire deck out, create enough zombies to sack to Alter, and then mill your opponent's library out.
So here on Still No Mox, we call that kind of combo enough in it.
Enough in it, yeah. That makes sense.
It's infinite enough.
That was cancer.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So it's, you have
mill and Legacy, I mean... Definitely cancer.
Look at Deadpool, though.
My pain, not death this. Rattle on.
It's okay. He can beat you down before he mills you sometimes, too.
This is true.
Speaking of, the deck does do that. You have Vengevine, Bloodghast, and Gravecallers in the deck to help cycle through that ability. But on top of that, Vengevine being a hasty creature... Bloodghast just triggering off of every landfall, and Gravecrawler, which just goes really well with Stitcher Supplier. You have a bunch of big enough dudes that even on turn 2, at minimum 11 power is just sometimes good enough.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely good enough.
11 power on turn 2? Yeah.
Well, it could be a Merit Lage.
Yeah, definitely could.
I'm smiling, just so you know.
Yeah. If it's wide enough.
Sean is audibly smiling. It's alarming. yeah, no, that's really cool.
The difference about what this deck did in Modern versus what I'm doing right now is in Modern it played red. I'm playing blue, primarily for Hegen Crab and Careful Study. I considered putting red in for Faithless Looting, but there wasn't enough rhyme or reason to take out Hedron Crabs for...
I like Careful Study better, honestly.
I can agree with that.
It's putting more stuff in your graveyard, isn't it?
It's the same thing as Faithless Looting, except you don't have flashback.
Right, and it's blue, which is...
Yeah.
Right. Better in the sense that you also get access to Hedron Crab.
Wait, what?
Without having to...
It's no breakthrough.
It's definitely no breakthrough, but we're not playing Dredge here.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, we're doing Once Upon a Times, the two of, which I'm on the fence about, but it lets me keep no landers and not get punished for it. And and we have Cabal Therapy to help get rid of the excess Bridge from Below's in your hand, or and/or Vengevines.
That's a really unique perspective that I never really thought about.
Yeah,
Cabal Therapying yourself and having it be a relevant thing. Because I got made fun of relentlessly, still to this day, for several years ago when I was still really bad at Magic, Inquisitioning myself. to put something relevant into the graveyard at the time, but it like didn't work out because it never does. It's real bad. If you're not putting two Vengevines or two Bridge from Below's into your graveyard from your own hand with a Compulsive, you're doing
not doing maximum value.
Right, you're doing it wrong. It's always your opponent unless it's needs to be you
or reanimator.
I did mention I wanted to put carrion feeders in here. It's probably next league's going to be three of, so I'm going to take out a Gravecrawler and probably cut the Once Upon a Times and just mulligan a little bit safer if I need to. But outside of that, I'll just probably test it before the next league to see what happens.
Right. And like we said earlier in the show, too, now that we're back into the swing of playing Legacy, because we haven't played Legacy in quite a while.
Right.
Months.
Yeah, it's been very, very long.
Too long.
People are going to be excited to be tweaking their lists after this first round of our league.
Tormod's Crypt.
And the fun thing is...
that is a magic card.
My very first Legacy deck about 10 or some odd years ago was Dredge. I had Lion's Eyes and everything for it. And just whenever I was looking for a list for this event, because I finally had enough capital to at least buy a core for a deck, not the lands, but enough for like the fetch lands and stuff sure. like that. I saw this.
Shock lands are fine in Legacy, and that's something we're trying to
right.
really promote. Stress.
Right. No, they definitely are. At least they feel like it, at least for right now. I mean,
what is it? It's Grixis Death Shadow, which is a thing in Legacy.
It should be a thing. Absolutely. Right.
They play exclusively Shocks.
I think they play a one of Underground, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can daze your Watery Grave, return my Watery Grave, and I'll do it again next turn.
You're already winning.
Yeah, we did it.
I'll fucking do it again.
Yeah. Play a Death Shadow.
I saw Hogak doing really, really well on MTG Top 8, and Dredge was kind of like stagnant slash maybe teetering a little bit. I was like, cool, let's just rehash Modern and do the same thing in Legacy. If it was right. good enough to get banned there,
and
it's good enough to play in Legacy.
Absolutely. And Hogak is a new toy, you know?
Right.
It's exciting. It's
disgusting.
New. God, it's so frustrating. It had the same impact on Modern. I feel like personally, the way that I remember playing against Eldrazi during Eldrazi Winter,
right?
Hogak felt very similar.
I feel like it was a little bit more oppressive because
absolutely.
Because
there were still ways out of Eldrazi. You still had what? You still had Splinter Twin back then, right?
Right.
You still had.
No, it was right after they banned.
Okay.
Twin.
That's it
started. Right.
The winner.
Yeah, it was the atomic bomb that
right
started that nuclear winter.
Right. I remember back then I was seeing a lot of Eldrazi because it's Eldrazi winter. There was a lot of scapeshift going back then too. It was a Bring to Light scapeshift.
Affinity was a hot deck
right.
as well.
They took away the format police in Splinter Twin and allowed cards like Iavugan and Eldrazi Mimic to exist. So you had turns where your opponent was like, Iavugan, here's three mimics, pass, Eldrazi Temple, pitch a Spirit Guide, Reality Smasher, you're dead.
Right.
That's called the okie doke. We got you. You did nothing.
I'm thankful that I kind of stopped playing Modern because I didn't know what to play after Splinter Twin got banned.
Right. You were
minus Affinity.
You were one of those people that just
got.
Yep.
And it was unfortunate too because they even said that the tech wasn't on the radar or anything. And it's just boom, next day.
Yep.
My deck was just actively bad against Splinter Twin. I was playing Jund Land Destruction. It was my first Modern deck ever.
I remember
that too.
I was really happy when Twin got banned.
So you guys gotta keep in mind too, like, the majority of us on this podcast have been playing Magic together for the better part of
5 years
now. Well, I mean, like, I got here in 2015.
Yeah,
that's when I started playing with
longer.
All of you. Yeah, it feels like I've been here forever, but
yeah.
I think that's just...
I only got here 2 years ago. That's still 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. That's about how long I've been playing competitively, too. But it's working out.
I've been playing the same thing for 2 years.
We have a really... I think that we have a very good scene here in Fayetteville.
There's a lot of people who have left this town wishing that they still had the community they had here.
Absolutely.
Wherever they've gone.
I've literally traveled the world and played Magic in other countries, and it's... there are a lot of places in the world. Fayetteville is very, very blessed with as far as like Magic community goes, and it's I blame the military for it. we got a lot of dudes rolling through with disposable income and a really cool hobby. So
yeah, poor guy right there.
I remember whenever I was playing at Gamers Guild about 10 plus years ago, there was, I believe, two individual pros, or possibly three. I can't remember the third one. That was a female. But they lived within the area, or they lived in Fayetteville. One of them was Emma Handy. The other was Ollie Andrazi.
Mm-hmm.
And they actively played at the guild. Ollie definitely played.
Chris Van Meter was from here.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I do remember that. I remember Ollie used to play Versus, and then went back to Magic, and then he moved off and did whatever he did. Emma played Yu-Gi-Oh! And then went to Magic. Or
right.
Versus, then Magic. But yeah, I do actively remember, because way back then, that's when Magic, I would consider in its prime, back around the old Zendikar format.
Mm-hmm.
Just huge amount of people
yeah.
in our area.
And again, the military definitely has a big part in that. Because,
absolutely.
Like I said, Fort Bragg brings in thousands of people every day. The population of Fayetteville is a transient population, and people come in with disposable income, because the military definitely does that.
It does.
But anyway, how have your rounds been in the Legacy League so far? Who were your opponents?
Nicholas, I believe, was my first round opponent, and
what was he playing?
He was playing something from where he was at previously. It's a tabletop. I would consider a tabletop like Zoo deck. Had Curd Apes, it had Rancors, had some cool stuff like that,
cool.
But it wasn't like refined enough to like I would say compete at Legacy. But it
sure.
was cool enough in the sense of he had an idea that he wanted to do something. I just think if he tuned it up or tweaked it, like probably just a land base of that a little bit, because he came in with like coming to play lands. I feel like if he had like lands that came into play, he would be doing a lot bit more, pressuring
sure.
me a little bit more.
And this is where things like shock lands
right.
really play a big part in breaking into a format like this, where a budget is an option.
And I believe he said he didn't even know that like those type of lands existed, or something like that, either, or even like fetch lands, because his card knowledge is a little bit limited.
Right, he's a little bit newer to the game.
Yeah,
I remember him coming in.
He is newer to the game. He also learned to play in an area where his access to new Magic cards is very limited. He played a lot of the older Magic sets before like Shocks and Fetches came out. He is very interested in playing Legacy, and he does know that his deck needs some tuning, and he has already asked for some help for the next Legacy League, but he's super excited to play older
yeah,
Magic formats.
Yeah, very
yeah.
cool. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. We're trying to encourage people to play more Magic.
Was he playing
without the fear of...
Was he playing Bolt?
Yeah, you know, and like that, and that's exactly it. We want to encourage people to play as much Magic as possible without really breaking the bank, and try to inform people as best we can that, you know, you don't need to spend a ton of money to have a viable or competitive deck option.
Right.
I lost a game in our Legacy League against Jack's, you know, Fling combo deck, and it got me, man. It surprised the hell out of me. It came out of nowhere. Fling is a really cool Magic card that I never expected to encounter playing Legacy. I love Legacy. I've been playing Legacy for quite a while, and, you know, like, I never thought of that, honestly.
Yeah. Let's start fleeing into Red Eldrazi. I'll hit you with a 5/5, and now I'm going to fling it at you.
No one's going to expect it.
Right.
Full therapy, fling. What?
Right of consumption is something that I've encountered before, but that's strictly for turbo depths or lands.
It's for lands, mostly the turbo depths. We just bring it in against...
Ensnaring Bridge.
Anything with Ensnaring Bridge.
And it's the black version, Rite of Consumption?
Rite of Consumption, you sacrifice
yeah.
a creature.
It's sorcery.
It is a sorcery, which is a problem.
Fling is an instant.
Yeah, that's why I thought Fling was a sorcery earlier, because Rite of Consumption is
also,
a sorcery.
Right.
Fling is an instant. In response to your Vapor Snag, you lose the game. I was like, all right. Well, we'll just go to the next one then, I guess. That's cool.
That's what the goal is.
Yes.
Hey, what's your board like? Like, how do you even board in what you're doing?
Yeah, what are your bad matchups?
I don't think I have bad matchups per se. I think it's kind of similar to Dredge. If they see like an early Leyline of the Void or a Rest in Peace, I need to just like stop the breaks where I'm at. Maybe build up like a hard cast of Venge Vine or something. Because if they're doing something like that, they're not playing a fast strategy for the most part, unless maybe it's Storm, but I've never seen Storm play Leyline of the Void in their board.
Mm.
At least from my knowledge. My knowledge is limited as well in Legacy. I haven't studied as much as most. So what I typically bring in is I bring in Leyline of the Void for most graveyard hate decks. That's why I feel like I might be a little bit slower against Reanimator games 1 and 2 unless like I just get the nuts with Alter combo off. But Leyline helps. I can just hard mulligan for that, and most of the time just jamming a Stitcher Supplier and swinging 19 times is going to get me there. I've never seen them hard cast a creature whenever they're playing, except maybe a Gristlebrand whenever it's way too late.
I don't actually think that Riker's Reanimator deck has enough lands that produce mana to cast any of the creatures in his deck.
They definitely don't
make the colors for
most of them.
Yeah, 3/4 of them. But right. He definitely does not have enough lands that produce mana to cast a Gristlebrand ever.
Right.
Surgical check.
8 mana gets hard.
It's real hard, yeah. Even...
I did the math. I got 6 lands. 6 lands I could use. I can't even cast.
Oh, between your fetches, shocks, and things like that?
Basic lands? Yeah. No.
Just lands that produce mana. If it can tap and add mana to your mana pool... a lot of decks just don't have enough.
And that's when you hold your Urborg in hand,
every
so you know that they'll never be able to cast it.
Every single one of mine, except for the Burden Catacombs, makes... Nope. The
Dark Depth does not make me. That's your win condition,
I have
dude.
27 lands, and 8 of them don't make mana.
Oof.
So you have 19 lands.
Well, no, technically I've got 27 lands, because I've got... 4 Lotus Petals.
Mana sources.
4.
They're not lands.
They're not lands. They are mana sources.
I tried to explain that to Jack as well when we were talking about his list. It's like you count a Lotus Petal as like half a mana source.
Because mm-hmm. It takes up room in your hand.
Right. You can't count it as land
because it's
a one-time use and it's
there. And
it's gone. So, yes, it's kind of a land. It makes you a mana.
Alright, by that logic, I've got 23 lands in my deck.
Right, you can't count a Lotus Petal. At the very least, it's a half a mana. It's a half a mana source.
It's amazing.
I'll give you John's Firstborn for both of these.
I'm not getting into this.
Wait, what?
What are we offering John's Firstborn for?
2 foil and hinged swamps.
They're not for sale.
Not even for a baby.
Long
not with that attitude.
Long surprise.
It sounds like a terrible law, by the way.
I already owe someone else my firstborn child.
Law. It's real bad.
Is it Rumpelstiltskin?
I owe somebody else my other firstborn child.
You have 2 firstborn children?
So that sounds like a really cool way to like win or like steal a bunch of favors from people. Like, I'll give you my firstborn child for this for this thing. And you're like, yeah, no, that sounds really cool. And you're like, haha, I'm sterile. Like,
as you're walking out the door with your shit.
Because I'm never going to have kids. So I could just be offering up my firstborn child for cars and property and all of these other things.
I just offer other people's firstborn children. It's a lot easier on me.
If you're not offering up your firstborn child for like occult and esoteric power and knowledge, then I don't know what you're doing. Right. But again, then you just...
I'll do it for magic cards.
You just steal and you... be sterile. You never have kids.
But it's not stealing. You offered them something that they could potentially have.
Sure.
But you have chosen to not
Hank
have
Hill kids. Had a narrow urethra and they still got Bobby.
If you're doing a patron type deal, they're going to just not make you sterile anymore. Next thing you know, you're going to have triplets and then they're all gone.
First
they only
child.
Get the firstborn.
When they,
whichever one popped out first, that's the one they get.
Hey, what if it's a C-section?
No, if I have triplets, they can have all 3.
That's one child. They're conjoined. No, they're not. They're
take
conjoined.
Anyway, so we were talking about
ley line of the book.
We were talking about mana sources, and then we got distracted by selling John's firstborn
for mana sources.
Okay, no,
for
really interesting idea. So, what happens if you face my zoo deck and I just like throw down that what's it called?
Graft digger's cage
immediately? Like,
well, no.
Man.
So, finish talking about the rest of your board. Ley line of the void. For
mirrors and oh, actually, came in very important, which I learned very quickly against game 3 against a 3-color control or miracles deck. It was Oko with blue white. I didn't realize
he beat me round 1.
I didn't realize he fetched for an island that put Terminus on top of your deck, and I realized. realized real quick, yo, cool, Leyline of the Void. Let's not let this happen. Let's not let this happen again.
Mystic Sanctuary is such a cool magic card.
I didn't know that card existed, and then I learned.
Yep. Throne of Eldraine has given us so many things.
That's from Throne of Eldraine?
It is.
It looked like it was much older.
Yeah, it's the same set that we got, like, Robber of the Rich.
And Once Upon a Time.
A Billadonkey.
I love a Billadonkey.
Questing beast for the uninitiated.
But to answer your question against decks like, or sideboard hate decks like Grafdigger's Cage, Rest in Peace, etc., we have Force of Vigor and Abrupt Decay as three Force of Vigors and two Abrupt Decay. I'm probably going to go up the four Force of Vigors at the end of this.
Do you have enough green cards in your deck to really warrant that?
I can get rid of a Hogak. I can get rid of a Vengevine.
In order to win the Once Upon a Time. And
yeah.
I'm not looking at it from like a.
That's fair.
From a number standpoint,
right?
Is there enough green cards in your deck to really warrant?
He can pitch another Force of Vigor.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is
fair.
What 9 times out of 10 is going to happen.
You have Abrupt Decays as well. There's a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, he's got plenty of Force of Vigor.
And at absolute worst, if they're playing something like that, they're a relatively slow deck outside of maybe Zoo. Which I have enough creatures to actually block because most of my dudes are one drops.
Right.
I can just sit there and wait till turn four and hard cast the Force of Rigor and then pop off and just set up everything prior to that.
Right. And someone once did the math, and I read it in an article that I can't quote, so please don't quote me on it.
Okay.
But the number of blue cards that you optimally should play in a deck that runs Force of Will... For you'd always have a blue card in your hand for Force of Will. I guess it doesn't quite apply in the same sense as Force of Vigor because it's very specific.
Right.
Whereas Force of Will is very broad.
Right.
Kind of catch-all. But in the same sense, it still does kind of apply because when you need to cast Force of Vigor, you definitely need to cast Force of Vigor.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we have Abrupt Decays as well. And unfortunately, I was supposed to put an Assassin's Trophy in here as well, but I forgot to do that considering that I was switching cards out from my modern deck to Legacy, and then I was like, oh, snap, I forgot this. This has seemed to be enough so far. And then for the last bit of anti-graveyard hate, which I also find very useful against Reanimator, my anti-surgical extraction card is Silent Gravestone, which is a really neat card.
That's the one that says that your cards in graveyards can't be the target of spells or abilities?
Correct. And it also acts as a relic for four.
For 1 mana or 2 mana?
For 1 mana.
For 1 mana. That's disgusting. As a man that runs a one of surgical extraction in his main board, that's scary. That's a really cool card.
It is. Against the Miracles player, he Force of Willed it every single time I played it. So I would always have it turn one.
Yeah.
And he would just force it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, if it shuts off four of the lands in his deck, that sounds like it would be a pretty good card to force.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Then the last are like just situational cards. Knowing TJ more than likely playing Storm in Legacy, knowing him, I brought in two Weather of Storms.
I love it.
I also had a hunch that it might also be good against Burn because I don't know whenever, because I'm playing Shocks, I don't know if that three life's gonna ever be relevant or not. But
it's always relevant.
Right.
I love Weather of the Storm against Burn because they're just like,
oh my god.
Bolt you, and then I'll lava spike you, and then I'll put this goblin guy and attack you, and you're like, cool. I'll gain 12 life.
I did that, and then still lost the next turn.
Yeah. But having a 2 mana spell that just negates 3 cards in their hand is fantastic. That's a really cool addition to the game. As far as Magic is concerned, from Modern Horizons, that I really enjoyed.
The part that does worry me, though, is that, what's that one card? The counterspell, that Storm.
Fluster Storm.
Yeah, Fluster Storm.
Fluster Storm is much more relevant in Legacy than it is in Modern.
I play a Fluster Storm in my main board in Modern, in fact, because it's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Ever underestimate Fluster Storm.
You get blown out by it.
Absolutely. It's so good. Even when you expect it, you still kind of just get blown out by it because it's Fluster Storm and that's what it's for.
Right.
No fluster.
So, because of that, I might just turn these Weather the Storms into Veil of Summers because Veil of Summer is just a really good card.
The card gets better every time I read it.
And I know.
I play it, so I know that it's a good card, and I still just get so excited every time I read it, because it's such a cool Magic card.
It makes me thrilled as, like, a green player in Modern to just always have that card accessible.
Absolutely, and it's the big draw for me, especially. People ask why I'm playing Rug Delver, because my main board only has two Hooting Mandrels in it, and those are my green cards. The sideboard has more, but...
Right. You play, like, three Fatal Summers in your board, too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's two.
Some number.
But yeah, it's just such a good Magic card. It's worth splashing green.
Right.
And if you're playing green already, you're not playing Veil of Summer.
You're doing something wrong. You're wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right.
I've got two in my sideboard.
I'm going to put that up
probably four.
And the last two cards is a one of Cabal Therapy and a one of Echoing Troop. The fourth Cabal Therapy being for Storm. I'm familiar with the list because I used to play the deck quite a bit, so I know exactly what I need to hit and when I need to hit it. More than likely I'm calling Lion's Eye Diamond almost immediately on turn one, maybe turn two if they haven't played it already. Because sometimes they will be safe and play it, because they know you're playing Cabal Therapy or not. But outside of that, just having an extra hand removal, primarily for like control decks if I need it. Three is most of the time actually what I need, or sometimes side some out because I don't care about your hand.
Well, right. Yeah, half the time it's more useful just for the sac effect of the flashback.
Right.
You play three in the main board already.
Right.
And being able to sack Stitcher Supplier to Cabal Therapy is real good, man. Yeah. It's just different value than Veteran Explorer, but value nonetheless in its truest sense.
Yep.
And then the last card is Echoing Truth. Obviously, get rid of the problem.
Get rid of Merit Lage. Get rid of the Leyline of the Void. Get rid of
all of your Mentor tokens.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Get rid of all of them.
All the Goblin tokens from Empty the Warrens.
Oh, yeah. Mono Red Storm doing their chicanery, just getting in.
I want to play that deck. That deck seems so much
fun. Thunderous Smite.
It's the craziest game of Legacy I've ever played in my entire life.
What's the card they use? It's not...
Thunderous Smite.
No, it's the one that copies your next sorcery.
Oh, that's
the
Mono Red
Storm. No, Mono Red Storm, it plays a 3-mana spell that says all your next sorceries get... You copy them.
Yeah.
And that's where the Storm element comes from, because you play the 1-mana ritual that gets...
Rite of Flame.
Play Rite of Flame and a bunch of other sorcery speed rituals. Pyretic, Desperate. Or those are
all instants.
But I think it's instant or sorcery of the spell, and you get copies of them, and you just cycle through your deck with...
Metamorphose with...
No, the Miracle Wheel as well. Reforge the Soul. They just dump their hand and fill their hand. It's just a constant drawing of cards and generating a ton of mana so that they can cast an Empty the Warrens.
Yeah,
huge amount.
No, I played against this at the first year I went up to Eternal Weekend.
Yeah.
He stormed off on his turn one, was really impressed with himself. He made 10 goblins. And then it made a turn 1 2020, and he took a picture of it and conceded. It was nice.
Bonus round.
Yeah.
Bonus round?
Yes.
2 red, 1 colorless. Until end of turn, whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery spell, that player copies it and may choose new targets for the copy.
Gross.
So you bonus round, and then you play Seething Song for 3 mana to get 10 mana. And then there's also the chance of playing extra bonus rounds, and then you get to cast a Fiery Confluence maybe 3 or 4 times and deal 6 damage to your opponent times 3 or 4.
I want to play this one. This sounds like a Storm of my caliber.
I feel like
Overmaster's a great card. Next time an instant or sorcery spell... The next instant or sorcery spell you play this turn can't be countered by spells or abilities. Draw a card. It's red. 1 mana. It's awesome. 2 lightning bolts, because if you have 3 or 4 bonus rounds going...
Yeah, if you've been storming off for several turns and you've just got a bunch of copies of stuff on the stack, you can...
Yeah, and Reforge of Soul costs 5 mana, and it's not hard to get to 5 mana with a spell. You also play 4 ruby medallions to reduce the cost by 1 colorless for all your red spells.
Such a cool deck.
Yeah.
Oh, so God. Much stuff.
I think the escape card would be really good in that deck too, the enchantment.
Yeah, Underworld Breach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. 4 Burning Wishes in the deck to get, looks like, the 4th Rite of Flame, some Abrades.
Grape Shot.
Empty the Warrens, another Fiery Confluence, and a Past in Flames.
What's it? Ignite the Soul?
Ignite Memories.
Ignite Memories.
I want that one.
It's my favorite storm card.
Well, that's the one.
Mine's now. Mine's my. Yeah, the reveal one at random.
Yeah. Yeah. Pat Chapin and. Oh. Horror. Someone else. It's a really famous Magic game.
Do you know the first letter?
No, I don't even. It was like Worlds or something. It was a really big deal, but they were both playing Dragonstorm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's an incredibly famous Magic game, but Pat Chapin storms off and casts Ignite Memories, and his opponent, who's also a very prolific and famous Magic player that I just am spacing on currently.
Bob Maher?
No.
Was it Maher?
Is also playing Dragonstorm and has a copy of Dragonstorm in his hand. And the storm cap is like 5, right? So dude's dead. Has to be.
Right.
And then, you know, they're rolling dice to figure out which card is going to get picked for Ignite Memories, and it's never Dragonstorm. And Pat Chapin winds up losing that match. He loses in the finals of, like, that Worlds or whatever it was, the Pro Tour.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a really, really neat story. You can watch that video on YouTube. And yep. Again, I can't think of the...
We'll find the link, and by the time this is posted, we'll...
Absolutely, yeah.
It'll be in the comments or whatever.
We'll edit this in so that I sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Lies. Lies and deceit.
Maybe right. Not. Cool.
I think we've talked about everything.
Yeah, we've talked about just about everything. Yeah, I wound up still undefeated. Mike, you're...
Still defeated.
Still defeated. Caitlin, you're 1-1 now?
Mm-hmm.
Sean. Still defeated.
Yeah, still defeated. Good luck, Matt, in your next round.
You're a monster.
John, you as well.
I hope you understand that.
I got you.
Good luck to the undefeated.
You were always
as well.
Losing to turn
thanks.
One thought not.
I'm gonna try and win this whole damn thing. So we'll see how that goes. We have stuff to plug.
Yeah.
Plug away, please.
Oh yes. So we have our Patreon set up. If you would like to donate to help us make this podcast better, sound better, look better, hopefully get some video going for you. And if you do decide to donate to the Patreon, there are 3 different tiers, and each tier gives you extra benefits, to include top tier being $20 a month, and monthly we will do an AMA. You ask us questions, and we will answer them as honestly as we can.
We'll answer them honestly, I promise.
It'll be swell.
I'll lie to you all.
We promise that we'll use your money for good. It's going to be new and fancy.
I don't promise that.
We currently have one mic and a laptop. Like,
yeah, we're
there's
sitting
room
around,
for improvement.
We're sitting around my kitchen table. Our kitchen table.
Our dining room table. The kitchen's in there. It's a doorway.
If you pay really close attention now that we're at the end of the episode and you go back and you kind of like skim through it again, you'll get to hear our lovely dog Whitney slurping out of her big jug of water. So we're working on finding extra space and getting new equipment, and these are all things that you guys can help us with.
Also, on the Patreon, if you want to hear the unedited versions of the episode, it is $10 a month, and we will send you the full unedited version of the episode with all of our side stories and...
It's a lot of story looking dumb, but it's wonderful.
It's a lot of me saying,
and debauchery.
Yeah.
Typically, like the jokes that are too cool for school.
Just selling.
That. So, yeah, thanks again. We're still in Mox. As always, I'm Sawyer.
Hi, I'm Mike. I mean, goodbye, I'm Mike.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm still Sean.
And,
We are guys. Still no mocks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Give me your money.
That's you.
Please.
We have a Twitter and a Facebook, too.
Stay busy.
I guess an Instagram, right?
I haven't done much with that yet.
We should get a group photo on the Instagram. Yeah. So you guys can
I'm
see
I'm not putting
our,
my face on the internet. Are you kidding me?
Ugly
your face is already
like.
On the internet.
I'll be raped on
everywhere.
The street.
goodbye, folks. Thanks again.